This morning, Dolores is blue again. She's signaling her readiness to mate, her eagerness to mount the rocks and corals of her tank and push herself against a male octopus, who will insert his hectocotylus into her mantle cavity and deposit sperm packets inside her until she is ready to lay the eggs. Unfortunately for Dolores, there is no bachelor octopus around ready to father her orphan eggs. And so when she turns that milky, almost pearlescent blue that I know means she's in the mood for love, there is no one but me to see. Dolores can turn herself as flat as a pancake or puff up like a mushroom. And when she propels herself through all 1,000 gallons of her tank, air bubbles dance around her like they're laughing with her. When she undulates her arms through the clean, dark water, she looks like a storm of ribbons. She can be cranky, like any old lady, but she loves seeing me come in with a bucket full of shrimp and fish for her. I could swear that sometimes she waves at me. So this morning, when I wished her good morning and told her how the weather was outside, and she responded by turning blue, I didn't bat an eyelash. "You and me both, Lo," I said before turning the radio on and mopping up the floor. It was 8 a.m., and I wasn't about to empathize with a thirsty octopus over her sexual needs when I hadn't gotten laid in months. This is my own fault, I know. After Tay left, I basically coped with it by not coping at all. I've been broken up with before, but never because the guy in question was actually planning on leaving the planet. Tay never liked my working at the aquarium. He couldn't understand why I had tethered myself to a sinking ship, as he said. No pun intended, probably, knowing Tay. And it's true that we don't get too many visitors these days, especially with more and more of the animals being bought up by wealthy investors who want to be able to gawk at a giant endangered sea turtle in their at-home aquarium. The exhibit hall feels ghostly sometimes during the off-season, like an abandoned carnival ground. But Dolores is still here. She has been one of the aquarium's crown jewels since I was a kid, pressing my nose against the glass to marvel at her shimmering colors. She's probably one of the oldest giant Pacific octopuses in the world. "Look at the size of her," Appa would say. "Isn't she a beauty?" He was a marine biologist and a consultant for the aquarium, tasked with making sure that the tanks replicated the animals' natural environments as much as possible. Oma always said, not really joking, that she wouldn't be surprised if he left her for Dolores someday. My manager, Carl, walks in, all hair cream and business. Dolores immediately turns inky dark and makes herself scarce. I don't blame her. Carl is the kind of guy who thinks everyone is happy to see him and always talks like he's wearing a headset. He's both fairly harmless and extremely irritating. "Morning, ladies," he says, radiating caffeinated goodwill. "Morning, Carl," I say, not looking up from my mopping. Carl pats the glass like it's a flank, and somewhere in the water I see one of Dolores' huge eyes open, a horizontal pupil flashing as she watches the movement of his fleshy pink hand. But Carl doesn't see her. "Cheryl's out today and Francine's got a field trip. Mind overseeing cleanup in tide pools, Ro?" I open my mouth to tell him no, and he hastens to add, "There might be a day off in it for you. I'd do it myself, but I can't stay late tonight." "Hot date," I say, and then wish I hadn't, because the smile that spreads across Carl's face is the kind of smile that announces it's got something to say and it won't let you go till it's been said. "Her name's Christina. Since it's our first date, I thought we'd..." "Fine. Just stop talking to me, please," I don't say. Days off used to mean something to me, back when Tay was still around and I had a life in which I did things outside of work. We used to plan weekend trips to towns we picked at random, either in upstate New York or down in South Jersey. Tay always took care of all the logistical details, but I was the one who planned out what hokey roadside attraction or niche museums we'd go see. Like the wooden clog collection we found once in a town we breezed through on the way up to Hudson. Tay liked our jaunts, my propensity for seeking out the strange. "I get to see more of the world with you," he told me once after I'd forced him to go to a jug band concert played by animatronic squirrels somewhere outside Albany. But who says I can't take trips on my own? Now that Tay's gone, somewhere in the Arizona desert. It's been months since I've had a break of any kind. Carl is surprised by my acquiescence. Super, he trills. See if you can get Dolores to come out and say hi later this afternoon when the field trip comes by. The kids always love her. As if in response, Dolores waves one pale arm through the water in his direction, which startles a yelp out of him. I suppress my laughter at the idea that anyone could get Dolores to do anything she doesn't want to do.